All right, praise the Lord. When a person gets saved, they get saved from the consequence of their sin, which is that fire. And praise the Lord, being saved from that. That is a, you want to talk about a blessing. Man, that is the greatest gift. Not only are we given eternal life, but we're saved from that hellfire. Praise the Lord for that amazing grace. I love that song. We could sing that every week. And I wouldn't get tired of that. We do have a couple business items to deal with tonight. We had our annual meeting last week, and so this week we're going to, we had a lot to discuss, and I didn't want to kind of do too much in one night. So we have two things. I failed to mention last week about there was a minor payroll adjustment, and Mrs. Schultz, or Mrs. Wandel, is no longer on paid staff as a secretary. She, for a number of years, was a church secretary, and we just, I talked to her about it, and just not needed as much in that. Not that that position isn't beneficial in what she did, but some of the projects that we're doing less mailers and all of that, and that worked out. She really helped us, though, through a, she was a big help to Pastor Huber and helped in a transition time. Say, well, what's going to happen to that position? Well, it's non-paid now, but Mrs. Russo is going to be my secretary. And I told the deacon, she's already all up in my business anyways. And so this is going to work out real well. And she has been already contacting me regularly. I get nervous when I see her in the building, actually, about just the amount of things that are going to show up on my desk. So I really do appreciate Miss Julie and all the years of doing that. And that being said, I know payroll is a very sensitive subject, and I want to treat it sensitive, and I want to give you information and tell you kind of what we're doing and things, but I also ask that you'd be considerate and respect people's privacy to some degree. With that, if you have private questions, you can come ask me after. But so when Pastor Huber passed away, we kind of made a decision as the church. Mrs. Huber would get income from the school, and she would get income from the church. The income from the church was as much as we could pay, with her still being able to collect Social Security. Well, this coming year will be her Social Security would be adjusted for her kids, the kids reaching a certain age. So after talking with the deacons and talking to her and Pastor Seatman, we took, we increased, it doesn't start till October. So we increased her amount to, again, a moderate amount, up a little bit to help increase that for when the kids come off that Social Security, all right? Again, I ask that you be respectful about that and understand that. And if you have any questions about that, you can talk to me or you can talk to any one of the deacons or Pastor Seatman about the details of that, okay? I wanted to let you know about those two things. In addition to that, we also have, so when you saw the, when we didn't address payroll, it was, taking Miss Julie's income and just moving it over to Mrs. Huber's. All right, so that's what happened there with that. All right, so we have a deacon ballot tonight. So I would ask our deacons if you can help me. Now, who gets one of these? It says, as an active member of Walker Bible Baptist Church, I vote for the position. So, young people, I'm sorry. You got to be 18. I'm sorry, Nate. I know. He's like this, rah, like this. And I wish you all could see what I get a chance to see each and every week. This is a crowd right here. And so if I could have some of our guys help me out. Again, the people up for election are Nathan Faulkner or Eric Rice. You can only pick one. If you pick both, the ballot is invalid. We just throw it away, all right? So, gentlemen, if you could each get some of these. If we need more, please keep one and then make that copy, all right? So we'll do those. Mrs. Buck is handing a book around. Thank you, Mrs. Buck. Just if we do any voting, we do have to, we don't take attendance, but that book is kind of our attendance with that. All right, all that being said, as those are going on, we'll do that, we'll collect those, and then we'll start in John chapter 1 while they're counting all that, all right? You can only vote once. You have to be present to vote. I had someone ask, can I mail mine in? No, there's no absentee. There's no, I don't know. Remember the no hanging chads? Remember that? Oh, man. That was something. That was something else. I would like to say something about that deacon ballot. Someone asked me last week, hey, do you have a preference? No. If a person is on the ballot at that point that you get, I'm green light go on it, all right? So we're looking to, very thankful for men that would be considerate of that and consider doing that, and it is a huge help to our ministry, and I am thankful. Thankful for the 4 years of Jay Kopacheski. He's the one that, not because of any ill job, but every 4 years we elect a new one, and it keeps people rotating, all right? Are we missing some, Jay? Okay, sounds good. All right, we'll do that. Register. What could we do? You can turn to John chapter number 1 while you wait. No career politicians. Nope. One term. But you can then get re-voted back in. We make you take a year off, and at least. Hey, thanks for praying for the Faulkners. Good to see the Faulkners back tonight. Praise the Lord. How you feeling? Yeah, there you go. Mrs. Faulkner, you're doing all right? Good. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. They've been down for a couple weeks, and the kids too, and are. No school tomorrow, want to remind you, no school. We're excited about that. Hud, you excited about that? You got big plans tomorrow? What are you doing? You getting together with cousins? Do they know that? I'm not sure that was a plan. All right, very good. Something just got organized. All right, are we all good? All right, very good. If you can pass those, fold them in half, pass them into the center, and then the deacons can collect those. And again, appreciate our deacons. I don't think I filled one out. Primer, you got one? Can I do one? I did a couple earlier, but I'll do another one. That is not true. Another thing. Sophie brought this up. There's no write-in ballots either. All right, sorry. Yeah, I know. No. No. All right, thank you, brother. Plays for the Bills right there. You see that? Nice catch. John chapter number 1, while they count that up and I'll say this, too. I appreciate the encouraging feedback from this morning's message and just the theme this year and talking with even some of our bus workers and Ms. Calpe and Brother Seth and other areas of ministry of here at church of how you're looking to implement some of those things and just the things that we talked about of reaching the lost and reaching within and how important that will be.
appreciate that's an encouragement to me, and to hear that it was an encouragement to you. So praise the Lord for that. John chapter number 1, what a tremendous book the book of John is. Spoke of this last week. Am I on? Are we good? Can you hear me okay? No? Sam, can you hear me? Yeah, exactly. All right. Tremendous book in the book of John. John presents Christ and his deity. Deity meaning his divinity or his Godhead. And we are thankful for that. And thankful that John was written in a way that that's what we walk away with. And that's what he is presented as. We're going to go through a number of verses. We'll probably end, we will end in verse 28 is my plan, barring the rapture. And say, well, what does that mean? Well, the Lord could shut this whole thing down at any moment. Just call us right out of here. And again, please, if you're not saved. Over the years, we've had a lot of testimonies of things. Preacher was preaching on hell and just thought about that and the reality of that and don't want to go there. I've heard a lot of testimonies of the preacher was talking about the rapture and I found out what that is. And that made me question some things. Because at any moment, the Lord Jesus Christ can call us out of here, and that thing is done. And if you're not saved, today's the day. There is no good reason to not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's none. This is the best day. Let me help you with this. And this is bonus coverage here. The sooner you get saved, the easier it is, and the better things will go. Like, I'm not saying like life will just get simple and easier, but you'll have a understanding of what is real and true, and you'll not waste any more time. One of the great dangers of life, the enemy would love to have you just waste time. And I encourage you to get in on salvation. John chapter number 1 and verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you again for our church family. Thank you for your love and care for us. And God, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for the words of John as he describes you in your glory. And God, I pray that we'd not get over that. God, I pray you'd use this passage here tonight to minister to our hearts, maybe teach us something we didn't know, maybe remind us of something we forgot. And when I pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. As we go through the book of John, we will identify this one thought. Joe asked me for the name of the message tonight. It is Who Jesus Is, Part 2. I said, but be ready. There's probably going to be close to, I don't know how many, but there's going to be a lot of parts that we're going to look at. Who Jesus Is. It's not a question, it's a statement. And tonight, the Bible says in verse 9, that was the true light. Do you see that capital L in your King James Bible? That means that's referring to the Lord. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the true light. Look with me. Hold your hand here. Go to Malachi chapter number 4. Thank you. Is this the end results? All right. I'll hold that off till the end. Don't let me forget though, Brother Sutliff. All right? All right. And if he forgets, Mrs. Dickinson, you remind him, all right? I'm going to the people with good memories. Malachi chapter number 4. Jesus Christ being the, what? True light. Look at Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. Notice the spelling on Son. It's S-U-N. Notice the first letter of S. Capitalize, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Jesus Christ's name, he is the true light, but he is the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. If you study light at all, there's some interesting things, the alpha rays and the gamma rays and the beta rays. Some are felt, some are seen, some are The gamma rays aren't either of those. And those are unique. And you can do a study on light. And we're not going to get into that tonight. But simply put, Jesus Christ is the true light. There's a lot of false light out there trying to shed light on some things, but contrary to what God would have. Isn't it a blessing to know that no matter what Jesus says, we know it's true. Amen. True light. That's who Jesus is. He's the true light. Look with me, again, holding your hand in John, go to Psalm 19. Years ago, I did a study about the glory of God. Come to find out, the glory of God is Jesus Christ Himself. And the Bible says this in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them hath He set a tabernacle for the Son, which is a bridegroom." Do you see what it said there? The S-U-N. "Which is a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from end of heaven, is from the end of heaven in a circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Again, referring to those different parts of light. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the bridegroom, is that true light. It's John chapter number 1. And the Bible says this, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." We understand that that word there, man, is referred to mankind, all right? Chat, it's not the light comes to you, but not your sister, all right? We're not differentiating between male and female, but mankind altogether, "which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Hey, isn't it good to know that salvation is available to every single person? Praise the Lord. That true light, there's no hidden spot, there's no area. The heavens declare the glory of God. You can look up and go, there is something more to this than what I just see. And God puts that innately in you. Job reminds us, hey, with creation, as we look at creation, there is no excuse. Job chapter 1 and verse 21 just speaks of the humanity of man. He says, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I'll leave. Hey, but blessed be the name of the Lord." There's something much bigger than that, than me. You have to understand, when Job wrote his words, that was a long time before the law ever came. Job, let's look at just a couple verses in Job. Look at Job 19. Job 19 and verse 25. The true light came to every man. Job 19, 25 says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." How is Job making statements like this? How can Job say something like that? What Messiah? What prophecies? What things? Hey, the heavens declare the glory of God, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Look at Job 28. Just a couple verses over. In verse 28. "And unto the man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Thankful for that true light that appeareth to all man, that cometh into the world. Every man has the option for salvation. Say, no, I've gone too far away. I'm too dark. Do you remember that light always defeats darkness? And you can never get too far from God. You can never be too lost that you can't be saved. Hey, the true light has come to every man. Praise the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for that. The true light has come to every man. In verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." John chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Say, why? Because the hero shows up only to be told, "We don't need you." Yes. That's what happened. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected by the world and by Israel. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hey, when that true light came to every man, and there were some that rejected, but there were some that accepted. I want to speak on verse 12 just for a moment. My preaching, I will not, you don't hear it often, speaking ill of another religion or a false set of beliefs. I feel like if you just proclaim the truth, you don't really have to go around poking at everybody else. But there are a lot of false teachings taken out of verse 12, a corruption of verse 12. But as many as received him, and there's a group of people that say, if you take of this cookie or this cracker, and if you take of this juice, you're ingesting the Holy Spirit and God himself, and that is your salvation. They believe that wafer or that cracker or that little bit of juice then transfers into, it goes from juice to the actual blood of Jesus Christ. And you're ingesting the body and blood of Christ. And that's why you have to do that week after week to maintain your salvation. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them. And here's what it is, that believe on his name. How do you become a son of God? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not doing anything. It wasn't your water baptism. It wasn't ingesting a cracker. It's nothing of that sort. It is acknowledging that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and humbly coming to God and asking for forgiveness. And he says, every man that does that, I will gladly receive. And they'll be my son. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. And when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ inside your heart, now you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You want to talk about power? Man. Verse 13. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's three things listed here. Which were born. Blood. And the will of the flesh. There's three things that people try to claim for salvation. They'll say, my family name is good enough to get me in. No, it's not. Doesn't matter where you were born. I'm an American, therefore I... doesn't matter. You could be wealthy, you could be... And what does it say? It goes on to say, not of blood. Doesn't matter what your works were. Doesn't matter what you've done, nor the will of the flesh. Hey, if I could save you, Caleb, if there was a way that I could pull you out of the snare of hell and bring you into heaven, I would. But there's no man that can save you. And I understand, I've heard it so many times. How'd you get saved? Oh, pastor saved me. Or, you know, brother Rice saved me. Well, hold on a second. I know what they're saying. They're just saying that person led them to the Lord. You do understand, though, you don't get in because, well, Dad walked with the Lord, therefore I'm in. No, you have to make a decision. You have to put your faith and trust in Christ. You have to ask Him to save you. Doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter who else in your family got saved. Doesn't matter what the will of the flesh. Man, if I could do it, I would. But I can't. No, not at all. It's God. God is the one that saves you, and only the Lord. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Verse 14. I don't know if you're into memorizing verses, but if you could memorize John 1:1 and John 1:14, John 1:12, those are important verses to have memorized. The Bible says in John 1:14, why I mention 1:1? It's greatly connected to John 1:1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Again, may I draw your attention to the capital letter on W, indicating the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of two things, grace and truth. The Word was made flesh And the plan to redeem mankind, please understand, Jesus did not become any less God. He just simply became man. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, and a verse I think we looked at last week. Maybe not. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He's God manifest in the flesh. As if God put on the cloak of humanity. So what'd that look like? Jesus. What'd Jesus look like? Man, that's a great question. It doesn't describe him in the Gospels. We know that he had a beard. We know that. So how do you know that? Because they ripped it out of his face. I don't know if his complexion was dark or light. I don't know if his hair was light or dark, or light eyes or dark eyes. Well, Jewish people, I understand what Jewish people are supposed to look like, but I also know what Italian people are supposed to look like, and sometimes they don't all look like that. Right? I mean, you can't just say that. Well, he was probably, how could you speculate how tall he was? We have men like Saul, right? Well, he was a Jew, yeah, but he was also a head taller than everybody else. It doesn't matter what he looked like. That's what I take away. Say, why are you bringing it up? I do know what he will look like, though. Oh, the Bible describes him in the book of Revelation with eyes of flames and white hair. And man, that sounds amazing. The Word was made flesh. As God, he turns the water into wine. He heals the sick, the blind, makes the blind to see, and he forgave sin. But at the same time as man, he faced temptation. He was spit upon. God doesn't get spit upon. Man gets spit upon. He was mocked. In the Old Testament, they mocked the prophet of God. Remember what happened? Bears come out and kill the kids. Say, whoa, that seems a little sharp. Well, the man here got mocked. Crucified. Crucified. Jesus Christ, God, could do impossible things. But at the same time, he was all man. And he was tempted and mocked and spit upon and crucified. In John 1:14, it says this, and we beheld his glory. His glory. That would also be seen in his virgin birth, and his teachings, and his miracles, and his resurrection. What great proof of his glory. John 1:15, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, so when they reference John here in verse 15, it is not the apostle John. This is John the Baptist. This is the one spoken of that was the forerunner of Christ. This is the cousin. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of the fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The witness of John. I like that he mentions that he was before him, because John the Baptist is actually 6 months older than him. We know that, Luke chapter number 1. So John acknowledging who he's talking about here. Now, it would be difficult to say that Mary didn't know what was going on. I mean, the testimony that Christ had, the circumstances around the birth, right? Like, she knows what happened and what didn't happen. And then for her to have a child, and then the angel announcing all that, like, she knew this wasn't the normal thing, okay? But very few people do we see acknowledging up to this point Jesus as who he says he was. And John was one of those people. John had an idea who Christ was, that he would be the Messiah, that he was the Lamb of God, as which we will see later on in this chapter, that will take away the sin of the entire world. And he uses this phrase in verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Grace was given from God in order for us to have grace. It was just an act. Grace alone in itself is a gift of grace from God. Look at verse 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." That's the second time that phrase is being used and tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, it says, "full of grace and truth." See, sometimes we're really good at truth, but not demonstrating it graciously. Do we ever see the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrating truth without grace? We do not. Do we ever see him being gracious without truth? No, he was full of both. You and I, we have to try and balance it all, right? But God, he was full of it. Full of grace and truth. What's the difference in verse 17? "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." What's the difference between law and grace? Grace is in direct contrast to the law. The law blesses the good. Grace saves the bad. If you're taking notes, write that one down. Romans chapter number 10. The law blesses the good. Grace saves the bad. Say, well, I guess I'm in the... I'm in the good group. No. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans 10:4. "For Christ is the end of the law." Where's the law end? With Jesus. "For righteousness to everyone that believeth." Christ brought in something. He brought in grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace, unearned kindness, love, and mercy from God to man. And I ask myself the question, Jacob, why would God want to show man grace? The only one answer I have. Because he loved us. Because God loves man. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It was just a simple demonstration of his love and mercy to us. He provided what I could not produce on my own. The law. The law was a set of rules that when transgressed, become sin. No problem with the law if he can keep it. If you're going down the road driving, I don't know, like 55 and a 40 or something like that, and you get pulled over, all of a sudden the law becomes a problem. But just as long as you keep doing what the law says, no problem. The problem is this: no one can keep the law. God had a set of demands that no man could keep. Say, why would he? Because God is perfect and holy. Enter Jesus Christ in the grace of God, full of grace and truth. John 1:18. This morning it was a little chilly in here. Is it a little warm tonight? Yeah. I'm about to pass out. We lost like 40% of the church sleeping already. Not these guys up here, though. These guys are looking sharp. Like, you keep dressing like that, you're going to end up preaching. That's going to end. Jake's like, jeans and a t-shirt next week. That's what Jacob's saying. So appreciate these young men sitting up here, paying attention. They got their Bibles out, pens out. I don't know if someone's giving them candy for doing it, but I like it. It's good. It is good. Is someone giving you candy to do that, Caleb? No, you're just up there because you love Jesus. All right, he didn't acknowledge that either, though. He's like, it's better than sitting with my parents. No offense, Runyons. We had a great time. I'm sorry. I don't know where we're going with this. We had a great time bowling yesterday, and that was fun. Brother, you can take care of that later. All right. Back to John 1:18. John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Well, this poses a bit of a problem. Say, how so? Well, let's go to Genesis 32, where man did see God. Genesis 32, we have a man by the name of Jacob, and he's wrestling with the Lord. In Genesis 32, 20, it says this, and say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. And he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 24. Exodus 24. In verse 10. Exodus 24 and 10. Verse 10. And they saw. Look at verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Sounds like they're describing the right thing. Look with me to Exodus 33. I've never seen God face to face. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. Now we're seeing people that have. What do we do with this? Exodus 33 and verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You know the story. Keep some of it hidden, even the hidden parts. Seeing just part of the Lord, Moses comes down and he has experienced the glory of God. His face shone, scared everybody. So what do you do with all that? I want to take you to one more verse, Revelation chapter number 20. I think we've seen those that have seen the Lord have seen a veiled appearance of God. We have not seen God in his full power or his full glory or his full demonstration of who he is. Say, how do you know? Let me show you a little bit about the Lord. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, you don't want to be at this place, but, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, speaking of the Lord, and whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Hey, God pulls back the veil a little bit and everything's just gone at the face of God. No man has seen that. And there was found no place for them. That's not what Moses, that's not what Aaron, that's not what Jacob saw. They saw a veiled demonstration of God. No man has seen God in his fullness, but when Jesus Christ came, they saw God manifest in the flesh for sure, for sure. John chapter 1 and verse 19. John 1:19 says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? If you compare this passage with other portions, this would be like the time frame between, right before he goes into the wilderness and maybe around Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. But they're asking some kind of questions about John the Baptist. Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Let's make it abundantly clear, I'm not Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. So they ask him specifically about two people, Elias. Go with me back to Malachi chapter number 4. Now that you know where Malachi is, the last book of your Old Testament. Are you Elias? Why would they ask this? Well, 400 years ago, look at what was said. Behold, I will send you, in Malachi chapter number 4 in verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. They wanted to know what was about to go down. And he says, they asked, are you Elias? And he says, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Well, what prophet are they talking about? Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. It's enjoyable to study our Bible, figure out what's kind of going on here. I hope this you're encouraged by this. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So they're asking, they said, are you Elijah? No. Are you that prophet? And he says, no. He says, John the Baptist answered, no, I am not either of those. So they expected either Elijah or a prophet who possessed the same signs as Moses. So we ask ourselves the question, if the Jews would have accepted Christ as Messiah, would have John the Baptist been Elijah? What a great question, right? Well, in God's foreknowledge, if the Jews would have accepted Christ, he would have sent Elijah. Could we say that? I don't know if people become other people. I've not seen that anywhere. And it did kind of not play out, but the events following, again, Christ is about 30 at this point that we're reading, that John the Baptist would not become Elijah. Elijah's going to show up. And Moses is going to show up again. We'll see that. Remember, they're going to be seen of all men, and that's a different thing. So, in John chapter 1 and verse 22, and we're almost done. Then said they unto him, John 1:22, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? In verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John had a humbled spirit here. He's like, I'm nobody. I'm just one just crying in the wilderness. Isaiah 40, verse 3, you can mark that down. Time to go. Is it really time? It's not yet. Not yet. We're not at verse 28 yet, right? Okay. Appreciate that, Isaiah. Thank you. I say it's time to go. He's like, not yet. We're not done. Wilderness is a picture of the world, and that's exactly what John was doing. He was crying in the wilderness or in the world, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. In verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ? Nor Elias, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Do you see his humility? These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. We'll stop there for the night, but following this, and this is where we'll pick up next week, a baptism is about to happen. This isn't the only baptism that we find in our Bible. There's a number of baptisms, and just quickly, I'd like to show you these. Maybe you can just write these down just for sake of time or whatever, but in John 1:31, right where you're at, John baptizes Christ. In verse 1 it says, verse 31, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." John had a baptism, and it was just getting people ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses had a baptism. It talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, when they crossed over into the Red Sea, they were baptized. Now, it's kind of funny because they didn't even touch the water. They just went through the water, right? The Red Sea up on heap, as the Bible describes it. It describes that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 1 through 3. And Acts chapter number 2, a very strange baptism. Look at this. In Acts chapter number 2, there's a transition time between the law and the time of salvation. That was the time of the apostles. Some strange things, not strange things, but certainly unique things were going on. They had the gift of tongues. They could do some healing. They were doing some, I don't want to say abnormal things, but things that are no longer here today. And look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Salvation is not through baptism. You say, was Peter false preaching? No, there was a transition time. And it says this, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, during the apostles, when they were going through the transition from Peter to Paul, and that's a whole different study, but the apostles' baptism here was a unique baptism. In Matthew chapter number 3, we see two baptisms, each one different than the other. So we had John's baptism, we had the baptism of Moses, we had the apostles' baptism. And Matthew chapter number 3 in verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water," this is John speaking, "unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." We just read the similar passage. "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Isn't that true? See, he says, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he says, "I'm going to leave and I'm going to send you somebody else, the Comforter." The filling of the Holy Ghost comes when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people will differentiate the salvation from being filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there's a charismatic movement, again, contrary to the Word of God. But here, so what is that a reference to? That's a reference to just being immersed by the Holy Ghost of God, getting saved. But then, if you reject that, there's another baptism that you can participate in that you do not want to, and that's with fire. We saw that later on in Revelation chapter number 20. So you got one of two options. You can either be baptized by the Holy Spirit, or you can be baptized by fire. Baptized by the Holy Spirit is accepting Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Baptized of fire is what? That's eternal torment for all eternity in a lake of fire. Interesting that it's called the lake of fire. Water and fire don't mix. We use water to put fire out. Unless it's a grease fire. And then, Matt, we do not use, do not. You'll burn your house down. I call on Matt because he's an experienced fireman, right? Sure, all right. Water, grease, and fire do not mix. But normally, water puts out fire. So how is there a lake of fire? That's a reference to this. Matthew chapter number 20, number 6. Matthew chapter 20, and verse 22. So far, we have not even mentioned the baptism that we're most familiar with. In verse 22, "But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able." He's talking about his suffering. Baptism of suffering here. A reference to that being crucified, many of which the apostles would lose their life, die a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, "And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand," he goes on to say, he says, "You will, actually, for my name, you are going to be killed. Many of these men lost their life because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, side note of that, just proves how true this thing really was. This wasn't some lie or scheme. When people start losing their life, things get real, Jake. If we went down the row and said, okay, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if it wasn't real, they wouldn't have gone all that way. Just kind of proves, again, what Jesus said. And then, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, that's the one I'm familiar with. Yes, that's Acts chapter 10 with the Ethiopian eunuch that comes to, he's reading the book of Isaiah, and he says, what do I do? What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, believe. So now, first you believe, then you're baptized. Baptism is simply an outward profession of a decision you made of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the inside. I'm just showing everybody what I decided. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And that's believer's baptism. So what are we talking about here in John chapter number 1? Well, we're talking about John's baptism. John was baptizing people and just, hey, are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come? And I believe John knew what his role was in all of that. He was just getting people ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Well, tonight we saw that he is the true light, that he is full of grace and truth. Hey, if you don't know the Lord, you're missing out. If you do know the Lord, look at what we got. We have true light, we have grace, we have truth. We have the ability to talk to that one that created all of this every single day. I'm so thankful. Let's not waste the opportunity that we have. We ought to go to the Lord a lot more than what we do in talking with him. Say, oh, I wish this person was here. I have so many questions I'd like to ask. And do you understand that we have access to the Lord Jesus Christ? We can talk to God himself. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Hey, if you're here tonight and you've never been scripturally baptized, that means that you've been saved from the consequence of your sin, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, you'd spend eternity with God in heaven, not because of anything you've done, but because of all that he did on the cross, and have never been baptized. Say, it's not good weather right now. We can make that thing right in the room. And Garrett gets it. Garrett, what time or what temperature can you get that thing without cooking us? What do you put it at? 95 degrees. It is like that. That's like Baptist stew right there. You get a couple guys in there, and we can do that. We can do that right here. Say, why would I do that? Because you've been saved. Because you've been saved, and you want the whole world to know. Hey, the Bible says if that thing's real on the inside, you wouldn't be ashamed of that. Oh, what are people going to think? What does God think? That's what we should be asking ourselves a lot more than what everybody else thinks. All right, let's all stand.